This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am thrilled to be with you today. I certainly am. I am so excited because it is Wednesday, and that means that it is Wacky Wednesday, and I look forward to receiving your calls. I look forward to receiving your text messages. I look forward to receiving your YouTube and Facebook messages. So all of that coming up for you in the program, and of course, Sue Brinkman is with us, and after our first break, she's going to be joining us. So I always like to remind you on Wednesdays, you know, get your question in early so that we can address it and talk with you, whether we're talking with you in person, which we always love when you call us, or, you know, whether it is via the other social media opportunities that we have for you that permits us to respond to a question that you might get to us. So let me give you those numbers, 833-288-EWTN. That is 833-288-3986. That is the toll-free number for you right here in North America. We love, as I keep saying to you, we love getting those calls. We do. So don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. We want to hear from you today. We certainly do. All of that, very important to us as we move through our program today. Also, want to encourage you to get a message to us, two opportunities for that. The first option that you have is by going to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. The chat feature is there. Pedro Quiles, our golden retriever, will go out there and he will get your question or comment and put it up on the air for us here in our little chat feature that we've got going. And we will be able to address your question or your concern or, you know, the comment that you want to make. We'll share it with everybody. Also available for you is our opportunity through texting. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or your comment, your insight, your inspiration, your word of encouragement, and we will get right on getting it up on the board, and we will address it. Do know that data rates and message rates may apply that way. Don't forget to tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. That's very important. We like that. So do get in touch with us today. On Wednesdays, it is Wacky Wednesday, as I mentioned. We talk about the strange things that we see happening in the world, happening in the culture. I'll tell you what, it just, in some, if we didn't have faith, hope, trust, and confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ and in his salvific act, we could lose heart because there's a lot of stuff going on right now. There's a lot of stuff going on throughout Western civilization. There's a lot of stuff going on in Eastern civilization. There's a lot of stuff that's going on right here in our own nation, the United States of America, and not all of it is happy news. You know, a lot of it really should have us sitting upright and asking ourselves, Lord, you know, what would you have me do at this moment? Because your voice, my voice, our voices together are very, very important. You know, I often remind us that God gave us life for this moment in time. You know, when he looked out through his omniscient gaze and he saw this moment in time, which he did from all eternity, he knew exactly the population of people that he would give life to in that moment. And he did so for a very important reason. He did so that we would open our hearts in our minds to him, that we would be filled with the power of his Holy Spirit, and we would move out in courage, fortitude, perseverance, constancy, strength, right? And the enlightenment of God to bring to bear that reality of who God is and his love for us and his saving message and how we enter into that abundance. That's why you have life today. If you've ever wondered that question here, that's your answer. That is the answer. It's the definitive answer, because God wants to have relationship with you, and through that relationship, he wants to make you a secondary instrument that causes you to become this reality in the world today. He wants you to be that secondary instrument. He wants you to bring souls to him. He wants you to speak for truth. He wants you to be inhabited by truth. Because truth has a name, and that name is Jesus Christ. He wants you to be inhabited by Jesus Christ. He wants for you to be who you are by way of your baptism. That is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to live through the endowment of grace that you have received. And when you fall from grace, he wants you to rush back into the sacrament of reconciliation and get re-graced in him. I don't know if that's a word. Maybe I've just made it up. I don't care. I rather like it. Re-graced in him, right? To be restored and renewed in him, to come into that fullness of life that only comes by way of him. That's what he wants. So, you know, we could get really, really hung up in the bleakness of this day and time. But you and me and all of us together, what do? We look at, again, and I'm looking right now as I'm speaking with you. I'm looking at the cross of our Lord that's over my left, sight vision. And I'm looking right in front of me to the divine mercy. It says, Jesus, I trust in you. And you know what? I do. I trust in him. And we have to trust in him. But we have to be who he's called us to be. Trusting in him doesn't mean we sit back, deeply into our chair and do nothing. No. Trusting in him means we trust in his providential action, and we trust that his providential action can be worked out in us and can be worked out through us. And that's the truth of it. And I hope that, you know, as I'm speaking right now, you are just getting exhilarated in the spirit, because I'm pretty exhilarated in the spirit right now. I often tell people when I give a talk, I attend the talks I give. I never know what the Holy Spirit is going to say and do, but I trust that God's going to do it. And I trust that he's going to use me as his mouthpiece. And I trust the same for you. You're called to do the same. Yes, you are. But we have to point out the error of the day. And that's what we do on Wednesdays in this one particular category of error. And that is the lie of the evil one that comes to us by way of the New Age movement, the occult, all of these weird and wacky, and may I say diabolical things that have infused our culture. You know, I was talking with my spiritual director last night, and he was talking with me about the infusion of grace. And oh, glory, I just love that, this infusion of grace. But, you know, this infusion of grace is absolutely essential, because the evil one is seeking to infuse his diabolical ways and his diabolical message and his diabolical ism into you and me and into the culture of the day. So Sue it keeps us posted on what's happening out there by way of her blog that's available for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. I encourage you to get out there. I encourage you to read it. You can search, as I tell you all of the time, by the areas that you feel that you need more information about. It's very friendly that way. All of the articles that she's written on a given topic will come up. We have over 1,700, probably close to 1,800, if not over 1,800 now, questions and answers on that blog. It is a well-used place on our website. And that's for good reason, because the information that you receive there is bona fide. It is in line with sacred scripture and the teachings of the church, and it is deep in research and deep in facts. So you can go out there and use this as a primary resource. But every Wednesday, we are here for you to answer those questions. There's one or two Wednesdays a year that we're not here. But you know what? Just about every Wednesday of the year, we are here to answer your questions. How do you do that? Give us a call. Toll free for you here in North America. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having that holy conversation. Get your message to us via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page, or text the letters EWTN to 58177. Know that data rates apply if you text message. Coming right back. Stay with us. Well, there you hear that music, friends. And if you didn't know it was Wednesday, if you didn't know what we were going to be talking about today, I'm thinking that you do now. Sue Brinkman is with us. It is a Wacky Wednesday. We talk about the weird and the wacky. And I'm always so happy to have Sue with us, because I'll tell you, she takes us out of the darkness. I would even say the cloud of the day, and brings us back into the light, who is Jesus Christ. When we reveal some of these, very diabolical activities that are going on in the culture, and what gets acclaimed in this culture as being terrific, absolutely, makes anybody with a modicum of faith scratch their heads and say, I don't know what on earth is going on here. But I do know what's going on. It's what St. Paul predicted would happen. It's what Louis de Montfort talked about. But I have so much faith and hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I know one thing, he has already won the day. And you and me and all of us together, we have a part to play. Do you agree, Sue Brinkman?
Absolutely, 100%. I agree with that. You know, I love doing what we're doing here because really, if you think about it, Johnette, what we're doing is uncovering the dark things that are out there. And that lets light shine in.
That's right.
We're just like informing people of, okay, this is what's going on out there and this is what it is. We're at least shining some light on the subjects of how darkness is manifesting in our world today. And it's doing so in very, very clever ways. You were talking during the break about Phyllis Schlafly, and she was ahead of her time.
Oh, yes.
She was way ahead of her time. We had so many people who really were years and years ago. Look at all the people who were warning about Harry Potter.
Yes.
And how we were like laughed out of the scene for being, you people are just overreacting and you're fear-mongering and all that kind of stuff. And now look at it. Now look at it. Harry Potter, look what he started, a whole new genre of fiction based in the occult.
That's right.
And we were the ones that were, far out. So anyway, I what we do, I think, is very, very important. Sometimes it is a little uncomfortable to go and look at some of these things, but we have to do it.
Yeah.
We've got to do it so that we can show our readers what exactly is going on and shine that, let a little bit of that light shine in there and uncover the darkness.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have faith, you could throw your hands up in the air and just say, I give up. Or, you could just go with the flow of the culture of the day and then find yourself in a big old mess. And we know that it leads to a mess. We've seen it time and time again. It's worth the effort. It's worth the backlash. I was in Pittsburgh this weekend, and I had been there a few months back, and a woman had come up to me at the end of that few months back day, and she was telling me how she was setting out to do something for the Lord, and everything was a mess. Things were happening in her home. For example, I think she had a plumbing issue, if I recollect correctly, and she said, I just don't get it. I said, well, I'm going to tell you what it is. This is the operation of the evil one. When he sees that you are stepping out in faith to do a work for the Lord, you get retaliation on the resistance on the front end, and retaliation on the back end. Resistance on the front end, retaliation on the back end. But those actually become markers, don't they, Sue, for the efficacy of the work that we are about to engage in or that we are engaging in. Because if the evil one is not riled up, we're not doing our job.
That's right. They're confirmations. Yep. I see them as confirmations when something goes wrong and suddenly I don't feel good or whatever. I'm getting a bad headache, stuff like that. I just think to myself, go ahead. I know what's going on here.
That's exactly
and he
right.
who is within me is more powerful than he who is in the world.
That's exactly right.
And I'm just going to rely on him. He'll take care of us. He'll take care. And he always does. So you should never be afraid to do that, because then what you're doing is, in a way, you're making the devil out to be more powerful than God.
That's right.
God's the one with all the power here. You go out and you speak the truth fearlessly because God's got your back.
Yeah.
He's got your back.
Yeah.
I never worry about it. I have to say never. I don't spend any time worrying about that.
No, me neither. And here's the thing, too. And you're a third order Carmelite. You are steeped in Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross and St. Therese of Lisieux and all of the other wonderful Carmelite saints. And this is the other thing that we know. The devil has no power, only the power that the Lord gives him. So what He intends for our destruction, God will use to our good. And we were talking just prior to going on the show about, you know, mortification. We were talking about, asceticism in that one area and purifications. And so, you know, when the evil one, when we come up against, you know, an issue, when the retaliation sets in afterwards or the resistance, you know, starts in the beginning and we've got to plow through it. What God does in that, the evil one wants to use that to stop us. But no, what God does is God uses that to give us progress in union with him, right? So when that resistance comes and we plow forward, we grow. We grow in perseverance. We grow in fortitude. We grow in courage. We grow in long suffering. You know, we grow in patience. We grow in all of these virtues, which is basically, you know, attributes of God. And then on the back end, when the retaliation comes, then we're sharing in the passion of our Lord. And that only when we unite that to that, when, you know, we really step into that truth and we just don't mouth those words, but we really step into it, then what happens is what we have done gains even greater advocacy. So the devil always loses.
He does. And it's like, leave me alone. You're never going to win. So you might as well just get out of here. You're wasting your time.
He's got me covered.
Either way, he's got me covered. That is so darn true. I love it.
Oh, glory. That's so true. I love it too. I mean, I get exhilarated, you know, and I get filled with joy just thinking about it. I really do. I mean, and that's the Holy Spirit. He does that mm-hmm. for us. And then he, you know, and you know, we, and I know that you know this, when we proclaim the truth, we proclaim his message, then what happens is there's an infilling that happens, right? There's the infilling of the Holy Spirit comes and it raises us up out of the circumstance and situation. And that's how you continue to research all of this dark stuff.
Yes. And it never ends. Mm-mm. It never ends. I mean, I have a slight backlog right now. So anybody out there who's waiting for an answer, I have your stuff. Don't worry, I'm getting to it. But definitely, it just really manifests it in all these different ways. You just have to really stop and look at every little thing. And what I'm happy about is that so many people respond to that little check in the spirit and they write to us.
Oh,
and they say,
beautiful.
Hey, Sue, what is this? I don't feel right about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I love when they do that because it gives me a chance, of course, to go look and see what is going on here. But then, again, when we have our show every week, I can get out there and I can tell that to people. I can write it on our blog, which is seen by people from every continent in the world. People have accessed this blog from.
They access it. They access it. I mean, our statistics tell us they access it. And we also know that lots and lots and lots of exorcists access it, too. So it's just really, a really, really big deal. Our phone lines are lighting up, friends. So call us now, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us today. Or get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature there. Also want to suggest to you that you might want to text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Tell us who you are, where you are, how you're listening, and do know that message and data rates may apply. I'm going to ask all of our callers to please hold for just a moment because, I always like to give you the opportunity, Sue, to impart to us, you know, some of the insight and knowledge that you have gained by researching topics that we haven't discussed. And you've really got two doozies for us today. Mm-hmm. And the second one that you shared with me prior to going on the air here, I mean, oh my gosh, it saddened my heart. It chilled me to the bone and it gave me righteous indignation. A holy anger for the atrocity against it's such an injustice.
How do I know which one you're talking about? I know exactly which one you're talking about.
I know you do.
People are taking their unwanted leftover embryos created in IVF and they're putting them in jewelry. They're having jewelry made out of these. This is something brand new, breaking news. Live Action News had a story on it. Our Register had a story on it. A UK-based jewelry company named Blossom Keepsake is engaging in what I'm a cover practice of of fashioning jewelry designed to hold these embryos of parents who decided to let their children die. They don't want to continue to keep them in cryopreservation. They don't want to adopt them out. And only a couple thousand really every year are adopted out. They call them little snowflake babies that are frozen, and other couples will come along and adopt them. But anyway, yeah, and listen to how they describe this on their website. This is the diabolical in it now. It says, when storage is ending and donation does not feel right, there's a gentler way to honor what you created. We craft modern jewelry that quietly holds your embryo within a beautiful, discreet setting. Each piece is made to order in precious metals and handled with care at every step. Only the wearer will know the secret your jewelry contains. The embryo will not be obviously visible, but we do use a marker to show where the embryo is within the stone. And they have this process, you know, give us 4 to 6 weeks after you're picking your setting. We'll design the setting. We'll get that ready. And then you can contact your clinic for collection of the embryo. Collection of it. That embryo then will be killed. It'll be packed up and shipped to the jeweler to be put into this piece of jewelry. Now, the live action article got into some of the statistics, and this is the part that horrifies me. A number of IVF cycles done a year around the world, 2.5 million cycles performed annually. Mm. Only 500,000 of those our babies are actually born. That means that 2 million or 80% of IVF cycles fail. Mm-hmm. But now let's do the rest of the math here. What they don't tell you here is that each IVF cycle aims to produce 5 or more embryos. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that 2.5 million actually results in 12.5 million. And those embryos are then subjected to a grading system to determine which ones are best for implantation. And the leftovers are either used in future attempts by the couple, they're frozen, or they're destroyed. Hmm. So in other words, of the 500,000 live births, an estimated 12 million embryos are lost every year.
Oh my gosh.
That is obscene.
Oh, it is.
That is obscene. Does the church consider this to be illicit? Yeah, yes. A human being with a heart considers this to be morally illicit. And we, of course, denounce it because it separates procreation from the marital act and it violates the dignity of the child. But it treats an embryo like a commodity.
That's right. You know, it's interesting because I did a couple of days where I was just taking calls and that had been left for us on our listener comment line. And friends, you can access that number. It's 1-205-795-5773. That's 1-205-795-5773. And you can leave a question 24/7. One of the questions came from a man that wanted to know if the church approved of surrogate mothers. And so, you know, I answered that question. But then I went off into this whole area of separating the conception of a child from the procreative action of a man and a woman coming together in the marital act. And I talked about that very thing. I said, it's a commodification of the human person. We're making the baby a commodity, and we don't have a right to have a child. A child is a gift, but we lose that. Mm-hmm. We lose that notion of the child being a gift. And I just don't wonder, I don't know, but I would, you know, it's almost like you've bought your baby. You know, it's a transaction that isn't a loving expression of what it is that is meant to bring a child into the world. And this just takes it to another level, because now, you know, obviously all of these little baby embryos that have life, they have life. You know, they're living. You know, they're suspended. But now what we're doing is saying, well, you know, I don't want this child, but I don't want anybody else to have this child either. Mm-hmm. So I will just turn this child into a piece of jewelry. And I'll wear this piece of jewelry with this child in it. And I can't think of anything that is more reprehensible than this. And I can't even think, I mean, when you talk about the devaluation of the human person, what does this say? You know, this is so diabolical because the evil one wants to squash God, which can never happen. But what he does is he squashes the image of God. He causes people to sin, which squashes out of that person the God life. And then he takes the very image and likeness of God and makes it into a thing, completely dehumanizes it, completely takes away the reality that baby has a soul. Sue, it's beyond the beyond. I mean, it's just beyond
and
beyond.
He wants to replace God altogether. Well, we don't need him.
Yes.
We can create our own babies right in a laboratory.
That's right.
What do you need God for? He does that too. But the thing that bugged me too is when you noticed about the Blossom Keepsakes website, they say, this is a gentle way to honor what you created.
The language.
Not who.
Oh my God.
Created. No, it's a who.
What you created.
That's
right.
A person.
There you go. Right.
That's a person, for crying out loud. And it really is taking this and making it a piece of property rather than a human being. And I think that's what this all has been coming along, I think, since the birth of the birth control pill.
Oh, you're right. You're
that's where this
right.
all started.
That's
It'll
exactly
start all right. the way back then, decades and decades ago. This slow desensitization to the dignity of life. And now it's become just a commodity and something you produce in a laboratory. And what do they tell you about IVF? Oh, this is it's for couples who can't otherwise conceive. You are smoke screening out everything else that's happening behind the scenes.
And
of
the
that
millions
attempt
of,
to create life, the millions of babies that are dying every year.
That's right. And the billion-dollar industry that this is. IVF
True.
Is a billion-dollar. It costs so much money, and they don't tell you everything. They don't tell. I mean, it's just anyway. It's just absolutely horrid. And I know that you all think it's horrid too. You know, and if you don't, well, call in and we'll explain why. I think we've done a pretty decent job of that right now, but we'll go into further detail. But we do want to hear from you today about the weird and the wacky. And Doris is in Omaha, Nebraska. She is with us. Nancy is with us from Cleveland, Ohio. We lost a caller, but you can call back. And we're encouraging you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace Live. It's a toll-free number for you here in North America. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page available too. Chat feature there. Put in your question or comment. Tell us who you are, where you are. We want to talk with you or text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Message and data rates may apply. We're coming right back. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams here with Sue Brinkman. I'm so glad she is with us. Susan Brinkman gives us so much good information, and it's all collected for you there at our New Age blog on our website, womenofgrace.com. When you go out there and you go to that blog, stop a while and visit the other areas of our website. We've got a great big mission, and that mission is to transform the world one woman at a time by way of informing her about her dignity and vocation as a daughter of God and her gift of authentic femininity. And we do that through a formation program and formation programs. So it's a big mission. But we're very convinced that, you know, when women understand who they are and begin to act in the way in which God's created them according to their feminine genius, we can take back this horrific culture that we're in right now. We're going to go straight to the phone lines. We're going to go to Doris. She is in Omaha, Nebraska this morning. How are you doing, Doris?
Oh, Doris. That would be me.
It would be.
I'm doing fine, but I can't top that baby face. That's just horrible.
It is horrible, Doris. We agree with you.
Where did you go? I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm here. I can you
oh,
hear me
there
now?
You are.
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you, but I don't think my subject is on your subject today, but he told me to stay on, so I'll go ahead and tell you what
yes,
I called
please
for.
Please do. Thank you.
I was sitting here one day and I looked towards my kitchen, and in the doorway there was a man standing there. He was facing the wall, but it looked like he was looking off into the distance. It didn't look like he was looking at the wall, but he was just standing there. He had a nice suit on. His hair was, he was blonde. He had his hair combed back. But I could see through him. Totally. See right through him to the other side of him. And he was just standing there.
What did you do, Doris?
I said something like, can I help you, or did you want something? And he didn't move. So, and then he just faded away.
That's interesting. Sue?
Wow. Wow, there's a lot of things that really could have been. The first thing that came to my mind, the fact that he didn't look frightening. Did he look frightening at all to you? Did he have a scary expression on his face? Was it a calm expression? Was it maybe a pleading expression on his face, Doris? Do you remember that?
Yeah, he was just standing there looking up towards the wall, but it looked like he was looking off into the distance. He didn't look like he was looking at the wall. And no, he was just... I could just see the side of him. But
okay.
He was just standing there looking at the wall, and then he just faded out. And then right after that, it looked like this guy jumped in, kind of jumped down from someplace. And he had a kind of a scruffy looking fella. He had a hat with a brim and dark hair, and he was just grinning like an idiot, and then he disappeared.
Oh, so another person came into it then? A second person?
Stuff like that, but I never saw anybody like that.
No. What she's asking is, you saw two images.
Yeah, I saw two. The first guy was just a nice, clean-cut guy, and the other guy just popped in, grinned, and left. And he didn't look at me either. But he wasn't there long enough for me to hardly tell what he was doing.
Okay, so when I heard about the first one, he was just standing there very calmly. I thought, okay, well, maybe it could have been someone from purgatory. That might have been, that's one idea that I had. Another one was an angelophany, and that's the appearance of an angel. And we have them. There's plenty of them. People have them. A lot of people have them. They usually show up in the form of a person, and sometimes they even talk and look and exactly like a person, and then when you turn around, they disappear. They're not there. That's been, you know, very well documented out there. But then this other guy that's kind of like the character pops into the scene. Well, that's telling me, now that could have been the evil one trying to play a trick on you. Because the devil is capable of making you think you're seeing things that you're not really seeing, and also hearing things that you're not hearing. He can do that. And we don't know how he does it. Only that is one of his preternatural powers, is he's able to do that. So that could be something there too. But if you've never had this experience again, and I would say that nothing ever came of it other than just your curiosity, I would just put it aside and say, okay, this is just, you know, an event in my life, and I'm going to just put it behind me and forget about it. I wouldn't get hung up on it in any way, because then you would be playing into the hands of the evil one, because he would want to disturb you by that.
A lot of experiences with stuff like that, but not, I mean, I've had people get in bed with me and all kinds of stuff. I just didn't let it. I thought,
Doris,
well, what the heck?
let me ask you a question. Anywhere in your life, did you ever get involved in anything that was occult, like see a medium or had your, you know, hung on to horoscope readings or astrology charts, or did you ever, play with a Ouija board or go to a seance? Did you ever get involved in anything like that?
Not the Ouija board. We did. I got her one back when I thought it was just a toy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. The more you're sharing here, the more I'm thinking maybe we should probably, you know, visit with a priest about this. What do you think, Sue?
Yeah, I'm thinking that too, because you're saying that you have other experiences of this.
Right.
So I would definitely go to see your priest about it and ask him, but maybe there is something like Johnette is asking now. Were you involved in the occult anywhere that you may have opened a door somehow, Doris? And you might have given him permission to be in your life, and he's going to hang around until you retract that permission.
Yeah.
And that the priest can help you do that.
Yeah, that's what I would do, Doris. I would definitely go talk with your priest, you know, confess to him that as a child, you know, you played with a Ouija board. You didn't know that it was, you know, an occult, apparatus. I would share that. You're not culpable. I wouldn't think he'll clarify this, but it's doubtful that you would be culpable for a sin, because you have to know something's a sin when you commit the action, or else it's, you know, you're not responsible for the sin part of it. But when it comes to these things, that doesn't exonerate the consequences, and it never exonerates the consequence of a sin. You do something, you don't know what's wrong. There's always a consequence. In this case, you were ignorant to the fact that the Ouija board was an occult apparatus. So the sin is likely not there, but still the consequence could be exactly what Sue's describing. So that's what I would do if I were you. And I share that with all of you out there that have ever been involved in anything occult. That's the course of action to take. The evil one doesn't always come into the house that he owns, you know, but he still owns it, meaning that you still opened the door. The robber doesn't always come in because the door's open, but the robber has access to the door to come in because the door's open. You want to close that door, Doris. Well, thank you for your call today. We had Beth that called in, Sue, and she's in California. She didn't hold. She says, I have three beautiful children from IVF and have 8 frozen embryos. I didn't know it was wrong when we did this. So to the point there, you have to know something's a sin for the culpability, but nonetheless, the consequences remain. What do I do with these frozen children now? I've been wondering for years since I found out.
Well, first of all, I would definitely see a priest about this situation, because this is very serious. These are human lives are in preservation right now. However, there are things you can do. There are services that will, you could donate those embryos, and they're for families who are looking to adopt them. That is something that you might be able to do. I would discuss that also with a priest to see, you know, to make sure that this is something the Catholic Church will allow you to do at this point. That's what I'm thinking. It's very important to see a priest. But there are different things you could do with those embryos. And that's, you know, probably the most important one, to try to have them. Actually try to have some of those babies, if possible.
Well, you know, I do want to say that the Vatican has been looking at that issue again as to whether or not these frozen embryos can be implanted in a woman. Now, the difficulty there is that, you know, the Church's teaching is that children need to come by the means that God has provided for children to be conceived, and that's the coming together in the marital act between a husband and a wife, right? So there is that. Whenever an embryo is inserted into a woman's womb, that is nullified. It's coming by way of an action that does not incorporate the marital act. So, but the Church is looking at this in light of mm-hmm. this issue. And this is, I would really recommend, Beth, that you get in touch with the National Catholic Bioethics Center.
Yes.
You know, that's a great resource. And here is their email address, or their website address is NCBC. Well, it's NCB Center. NCB Center. CENTER. NCBC. And that's B Center. I'm not doing this well. NCBCENTER.org. So National Catholic Bioethics Center, ncbcenter.org. And they have moral theologians, bioethicists that are on staff there, and they will call you and speak with you directly. So you'll be speaking with a moral theologian, a Catholic bioethicist, when you call. And they can help, I think, help to answer this question. It's a dilemma, Sue, because of what you shared earlier in the program.
It's a dilemma. And the Church the Church doesn't approve of embryo donation.
Right.
What they do say is that all the embryos have to be protected from destruction. So that's why I think it's a good idea to be calling the Ethics Center. I know some of the people over there. They're wonderful people. They'll be very easy to talk to. Mm-hmm. They are going to suggest probably that you may be able to try to have the embryos implanted if that's possible. They may recommend that. But I would definitely go to a church source to make sure that, you know, you went into it not knowing what was going on, but now you do know what's going on, and now you want to make that attempt to do the right thing according
to... Which is beautiful.
Yes, that is very beautiful that you're even doing that, Beth, that you're doing, you're referring to these as children. They're not little commodities. I mean, you have just a beautiful, beautiful heart and concern. And I'm sure that the Lord is going to guide you in this process to let you do what is the best thing for yourself, for your soul, and also for the souls of your little embryos. He will direct you. But I really think that the church is the source for this information.
Yeah, I do too. And one other point that I would make, Beth, is, you know, as we were discussing before, in order for a sin to be a sin, we have to know it's a sin and commit it anyway. So those conditions, and we have to do so freely. You know, our consent has to be in place. So you were ignorant of the church's teaching on this matter. That being said, however, I would still do what Sue suggested. I would go and talk with your priest and tell him this, because you don't want any... whenever we engage in an action that is sinful, as I say, there's always a consequence. We don't know how that consequence is going to make itself known. But what you want to do is forestall anything like that. And you want to come back into, a full relationship with the Lord. And I think that what we don't realize about the sacrament of reconciliation and don't consider often enough is that not only does it forgive our sin, that's wonderful. I mean, that's remarkable in and of itself, but it's also a healing sacrament. So any kind of, you know, interior dilemma, any kind of misery that could in some way be attached to this action, the sacrament has the capacity to heal. So I would want you to do that for your own spiritual benefit. Do you agree, Sue?
Absolutely, I do. And I'm actually right now out on the website of the National Catholic Bioethics Center, and they have an article right that they just did this year in 2025 about the question of embryo adoption. So this is definitely something that the church is very much involved in looking at and analyzing this. I really think that that's your best bet to go there, and I think it's going to put your mind at ease.
Yes,
it will
indeed.
Put your mind at ease if you follow this process, and I think you've already begun this process in the right way by asking, having the courage to ask the right questions, and I'm sure that he will give you the courage now to continue along this journey to bring a really good holy closure to this situation, and I definitely recommend the National Catholic Bioethics Center for that too.
Yeah. And if I may, Beth, you know, I just want to commend you on having the courage to share your situation with us, because I got to tell you what, I just know that you're not the only one who is listening today who is in this situation. I am sure, Sue, there are lots of women that are listening today that are in this situation. So again, you know, friends, when you call in with these kinds of questions, you are really, really exercising both a spiritual and a corporal work of mercy, because there's always a suffering involved in admitting such a thing, even if it's rather anonymously. And there is also a great deal of courage and fortitude that takes. So I really want to commend you, Beth. I'm so grateful for your call today. And I know that the Lord has a way out of this for you, because that's who our God is. So, it tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, it says that, no trial has come to you that has not been suffered by every man, but in the midst of the trial, the Lord will give you a way out lest you be crushed by it. So, God, you've opened a beautiful opportunity for yourself, Beth, and I'm very grateful for it. All right, let's get to Nancy. Nancy is in Cleveland, Ohio, listening to us via the EWTN app. How are you doing there, Nancy?
I am doing well, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I had a class reunion. A friend of mine met with a former classmate who talked to her about her spiritual practice, and it involved vibration. Explaining about vibration is in everything and in all our cells, and we are connected that way with these vibrations. And my friend was wondering if we wanted to get together with this woman and hear about this. She was really intrigued. And I was thinking that doesn't sound quite right. So I was wondering if you could explain.
It's not. It's not right at all.
Good discernment, Nancy.
Yes, very good discernment on your part. You know, all objects have vibrations. That's very true, right? Because there's atoms and molecules that they're in constant motion. They're always been, so there is vibrations coming off everything. But the idea that these vibrations have some sort of spiritual implication, or that they can describe emotions or a person's general state of being or something like that, that is pure New Age.
Yeah.
That is just New Age hooey that they're attaching to this. And there's some of them are saying things like what you're suggesting there, Nancy, that vibrations can influence each other and you need to harmonize your vibrations, and that could lead to better health, better well-being, more peace on the planet. This is all very, very New Age. There is absolutely no scientific evidence that any of these things are true, that they can happen. However, the idea of the vibration is, that's not New Age. That is physics. That's physics. So there truly is vibration coming off of all objects, and that, you know, a mountain gives off vibrations. I mean, everything gives off vibrations because of the atoms and the molecules that are at work and that are in motion at all times. So, but you're right in discerning that. You probably want to leave that one alone. And I don't think I would waste my time going to any kind of presentation suggesting in any way that you can harmonize all this stuff. That's pure New Age.
Well, and it's rooted in a heresy, Nancy, called monism. And monism is a heresy that says that everything is the same thing. And there's that aspect of what your friend is describing to you, that, you know, these vibrations are in all things. And where they take that is to the universal life force energy, that we're all really one reality, that there is no dualism, that you and me, we're the same person. We're all connected, and we're all part of this one big cosmic oversoul that is the universal life force energy. And then they name that oversoul as being God, and then they step into another heresy with that movement forward, that leap, and that is pantheism, that all things are God. So if the universal life force energy is all part of one reality, and that reality is God, then we are God. And then that leads you to a third heresy, which is called Gnosticism. And Gnosticism is that we save ourselves by coming into touch with our own divinity and coming to the realization that we are God. And we do that by various kinds of practices. And, you know, that's what the occult is filled with, is these various kinds of practices. That's what the New Age is filled with, these various kinds of practices. And I'm quite sure that if you went to that presentation, you're going to hear all of those thoughts being weaved into really a message that, you know, and this is strong language, but it's true, comes from the pit of hell. You know, it's diabolical. It's making the creation the God, as opposed to coming to know the God who made creation. So it's topsy-turvy. At the least, it's topsy-turvy.
Yes. I don't know that I would waste the time with it, because it's too many red flags in there already that are telling me, no, this is all New Age.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely that. There's no question about it in my mind whatsoever. So good call, Nancy. I really do appreciate it, because, you know, so these things can be seductive. That's the other thing, Nancy. You know, again, if this is, and surely, and anytime there's heresy, the evil one's in it, right? So we've named three heresies that are associated with this. There's probably more. Pelagianism would be another one. Anyway, we don't have to go into all that. The fact of the matter is, the evil one's involved in this. We don't want to open ourselves up to any of that. And he's very seductive, very, very seductive. And, you know, look what he did with Eve. You know, he's very seductive. So we don't even want those thoughts playing around in our head. And I'll tell you what, he'll keep inciting them in your mind when you open mm-hmm. your mind up to that stuff. Right, Sue?
Absolutely. He'll make sure that you see something on the internet or you read something in a book or see something on television that will confirm, you know, what he's trying to get you to believe. I mean, you have to be really careful to keep this stuff out of your mind. And there's very good advice, Jeanette. Keep the mind closed to this kind of thing.
That's right. Don't let it in. Living Bread Radio, Barb, Canton, Ohio, really fast, Sue. She's asking about panda drums. Are they okay? Very new, angry sound.
Yeah, new agey sound, yes, but it's the drum is fine, but using it for meditation is not.
Okay, there you go. All right, a quick answer to a good question. We appreciate all of your questions when they come in, and I thank you so very much for being with us. Sue, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, my dear friend.
Thank you for having me.
Always. All right, friends, get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. All kinds of good things coming your way. I am going to be in Belton, Texas. Find out about it. Go to our events page. Looking forward to being with you at Armor of God, Catholic Radio's Gala. So if you're anywhere in that area, join us. We'll be back again with you tomorrow, God willing. Bye-bye now.